Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an eBury podcast all about the foreign exchange market, where we break down some of the main news headlines in financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of FX. My name is Matthew Ryan, Head of Market Strategy here at eBury, and I'm joined as always on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Senior Market Analyst, Roman Zuruk. Welcome back, everyone, to the latest episode of FX Talk. Hope you all had a lovely Easter and a nice break for those of you that took any time off. Perhaps the biggest focus in markets since our last episode has been the number of central bank announcements we've had in the past few weeks. The likes of the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, Bank of Japan, among others, have unveiled their latest rate decisions. Among the biggest surprises was a shock interest rate cut from the Swiss National Bank and the first interest rate hike in 16 years from the Bank of Japan. In the UK, the Bank of England struck a dovish note, hinting that UK interest rates could be lowered sooner than expected. More on that shortly. But we're going to start by talking about the US dollar, which has appreciated against most currencies in the past couple of weeks, despite what was perceived as a dovish announcement from the Fed. The FOMC stuck to its guns at its March meeting. There was no real change to the statement, with the Fed repeating the line that more evidence was needed on a downtrend in US inflation before it could begin cutting interest rates. The dot plot of rate projections also showed again three cuts in 2024, as it did in December. Markets had expected a shift to just two. While the dollar initially sold off on the Fed's announcement, it has since rallied quite sharply, posting advances of around 1.5% on the euro and nearly 2% on sterling. But why has this been the case? Roman, what are your thoughts on this rally we've seen in the US dollar?
Yeah, looking at the US dollar, I think that the markets are not entirely convinced that inflation will be able to be kept in check right now. So overall, looking at the economic situation, it is really good. So we see that the economic activity slowed, but remains quite high, and labor market remains tight. Those are the reasons why there are some concerns that perhaps inflation will be a more persistent problem. And if we look at the current inflation data, if we look especially at the CPI index and particularly at the monthly changes of the core index, we see that there is still an underlying price pressure in the US and that it is relatively strong. And this is something that is preventing the Fed and the markets from thinking that this problem it has been solved. We are still waiting for to be more convinced that this is indeed the case. And the Federal Reserve communication has been rather cautious in the face of that. And so here we have the reason for the US dollar strength, but also if we look at US yields, we have seen some upticks there, and partly this can also be attributed to this concern about the inflation inflation fight. And also, if we look at the euro dollar, we have the other side of that, which is the situation in the eurozone, and there the situation on the inflation front has been more encouraging. Recently, we have seen the inflation dropping to levels which were lower than expected. We have also seen some encouraging comments from members of the Governing Council, which contrast with what is voiced by the Federal Reserve. The European Council members seem to be acknowledging that wage growth is unlikely to be a significant problem, or maybe as much of a problem to prevent them from normalizing monetary policy. So recently we have seen those the discrepancy between the pricing of interest rate cuts on both sides of the Atlantic increasing. So effectively right now we have a June cut priced in fully in the Eurozone, and only in about 60% 1%, maybe slightly higher in the US. So certainly those concerns about inflation on the other side of the Atlantic are more significant. It is reflected in the rhetoric of the decision makers. And in this context, we are seeing a stronger dollar and a weaker euro dollar.
Yes, well, I think it's worth mentioning, I think you sort of hinted at this, that communications from Fed members have been slightly less dovish in the last few days. That includes Chair Jerome Powell, who said that the Fed would not be in a rush to cut interest rates, which is a bit of a shift in stance to what we've seen in the last few weeks. So not only is a start to US rate cuts in June not set in stone, but I think also the pace beyond then will perhaps be slightly more gradual than maybe what we anticipated. As you mentioned, I think the primary reason behind this is stickiness we're seeing in US inflation, particularly in the core index and notably the monthly core number, which I think remains a concern for the Fed. And indeed, if we look at the March dot plot of interest rate projections from the Fed, while FOMC officials still see three cuts this year, as they did in December, actually, the 2025 and 2026 median dots were both revised upwards, which is a clear dollar positive. So June still looks good for a start date to cuts, I would say, but upcoming inflation reports will be highly important. And I think, as we said previously, if the next one or two US inflation reports come in slightly hotter than expected, I could very much see a later start to Fed cuts and a slightly more gradual pace beyond then. So possibility of some near-term dollar upside if that does indeed prove to be the case. We're going to shift our focus now to the Bank of England and to sterling, because the March MPC meeting delivered a dovish shift in both the Bank of England's voting pattern and its statement. The statement itself was largely as before. The MPC reiterated that it's not yet at the point where it can start cutting rates, although Governor Bailey noted that conditions for lower rates were moving in the right direction. The vote on rates was also dovish relative to expectations, with both of the hawks, that's members Mann and Haskell, shifting their allegiance in favour of no change. At the previous meeting, both of these members had voted for an immediate hike. Investors had assumed that at least one would stick by their call for a rate increase. Indeed, we did as well, although both, as I said, shifted their support in favour of no change. Our recent UK inflation data is also a surprise to the downside. The headline rate dropped to just 3.4%, which is its lowest level since September 2021, while the core measure has also dropped to 4.5%, which is its lowest level since January last year. Market participants are now eyeing the first UK rate cut in June. This is roughly 65% priced in by markets, having previously expected the MPC to lag behind both the Fed and the ECB and start easing policy no sooner than August. So the big question now is, when will the Bank of England start cutting interest rates and what are the implications for sterling? Roman, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a million-pound question. The recent shift in rhetoric from the Bank of England, or the shift in communication, was quite surprising. The voting pattern and the signals from the Governor Bailey, and listening to his comments in recent weeks, actually it seems that he is more open to the idea of rate cuts. Looking at the macroeconomic data, we also have seen progress on the inflation front. We have seen inflation coming below expectations. We have seen wages coming in below expectations, wage growth. But at the same time, if we actually focus on the nominal levels of where those numbers are, they are quite high. If we look at the UK core inflation, for instance, compared to the Eurozone, we are still talking about 4.5%, which is a very high level, effectively more than double of the 2% target. So I wouldn't say that the inflation fight in the UK has been won at this stage. I think that there still is some uncertainty of whether the relatively tight labor market situation won't produce reduce some or won't prevent inflation from fully normalizing. And with such levels of price pressures in the UK, I would be quite concerned with just betting on a rate cut in June fully. So I'm quite hesitant about it. At the same time, their rhetoric suggests that they might actually do it. And also there is one other thing that perhaps they should be mindful of, and this is the UK election, which are coming up later in the year in November. So if you are a decent central bank, you try to avoid looking as if your decisions are based on those elections. And if, let's say, the central bank decided to start cutting interest rates shortly before the vote, then they could potentially be questions about such actions. So I think that perhaps an August would be a more reasonable date for me, considering the macroeconomic data, but considering the election calendar and considering the rhetoric from the BoE and the recent shift, June also looks realistic.
Oh, well, look, I probably have to strongly disagree that the election will have any sort of impact on the Bank of England policy. I think that would be it'd be wrong to assume that, if I'm perfectly honest. I would also asterisk to say that the November is just our expectation rather than a set in stone. The election has not yet been called, so we don't know the start date for the election. But for me, the key to Bank of England policy is upcoming inflation prints, as with the US. But in the UK, I think there's a great deal more uncertainty as to surrounding upcoming inflation data, given particularly the energy price cap from the UK government, which is said to be lowered again in April. I think this is going to be absolutely crucial to the MPC and to sterling. The Bank of England expects energy prices and inflation to fall very sharply from April. If that is to indeed be the case, if we see a return below the 2% target in the next month or two of inflation data, then I think that very much could pave the way for a June rate cut from the Bank of England. But were we to receive some slightly stronger than expected inflation prints in the next couple of months, should that drop in energy prices not be quite as significant as the MPC anticipates, and the feed through to inflation data not be quite as significant as anticipated, then we may see a bit of a delay to the start date for cuts. And it does look very much like a close call between June and August. The recent communications from the BOE suggest that a June cut is in play, notably Bailey's comments that things were moving in the right direction. But as I said, those upcoming UK inflation reports will be absolutely crucial in determining both the start date, of course, which is highly important, but also the pace of cuts once they do begin. We're going to finish now by talking about the Japanese yen. The yen has continued to be battered in recent weeks. The USD-JPY cross has moved above the 151 level in recent weeks, which is its lowest, I should say its highest, i.e. the lowest level for the yen, in around three decades. The Bank of Japan raised interest rates for the first time in 16 years at its March meeting. The move was not fully priced in, so it should have been supportive of the yen, but communications from Bank of Japan officials were dovish, suggesting that additional hikes are likely to be very gradual. We have seen, though, some verbal intervention from officials. Japan's finance minister has said that it will be monitoring excessive moves in the currency. This seems to be putting a little bit of a floor under the yen, which is holding its value around the 150-151 level against the dollar. But what's next for the yen? What are your thoughts on the Japanese currency, Roman?
Earlier in the year, the long yen call appeared to be an obvious one. However, recently, particularly after the Bank of Japan actually pulled the trigger and raised interest rates, it's becoming a bit more difficult to say what's going to happen. And I think the yen story actually has become more of a US dollar and the Fed story. So if we see a continuation of the stronger dollar, if we see yields in the US marching up, if, for instance, the economic data tells us that June rate cut in the US is probably not going to happen, then this would spell troubles for the yen in the near terms. And I think that the levels that we are right now, so around 152, the dollar yen, it's a crucial level. And as you said, Matthew, the verbal interventions, they appear to have kept the yen in check to some extent. However, if we see further dollar strength, then probably we would need to see some actual physical interventions in the market. And the thing with those interventions is that this is not something that can be kept forever. So it's not free money. It's something that actually is a burden. And in this context, yes, the central banks intervene to slow the pace of the move, not to prevent it entirely, because preventing it entirely is a futile exercise. But at the same time, looking at a longer time horizon, if we look at, let's say, year end or even further, it still appears that a stronger yen call against the US dollar is the right one. So I think that right now the decision makers in Japan need to be need to pray and need to be ready to buy some time if they want to keep yen in check. But the bigger part of the yen story right now actually lies in the US.
Well, look, I agree with your comment on the FX intervention. I think that can only go so far. As you said, this is not something that is necessarily, well, certainly not used as a sort of longer term strategy. When a central bank or government does intervene in the market, this tends to be only something to prevent a short term move and can only lead to either sort of a short term rebound or to prevent excessive depreciation, rather than leading to a sharp snapback in the currency. The most important aspect here, of course, remains monetary policy. I think the recent announcement from the Bank of Japan is a little bit of a concerning development for the yen, because while they did raise interest rates, of course, it was only a small 10 basis point hike. And the communications from BOJ officials were pretty dovish, and they very much seem cautious regarding the possibility of additional hikes. I don't think that the next move is priced in until at least September. So at any rate, additional hikes are likely to be very gradual indeed. As I said, I think that's a little bit of a concerning development. Interest rate differentials between Japan and pretty much everywhere else still remain very wide. Rates in Japan still remain at or around zero. Unless we see a big shift in stance from the BOJ, whereby it signals that actually it may start raising rates more aggressively than it has outlined. Unless we see that, I think it'll be difficult for the yen to rebound to the levels that we'd anticipated. I do still agree with you that the likely path for the yen is a depreciation, but given this cautious stance from the Bank of Japan, I don't think we'll see quite a significant move and a rebound in the yen as we'd anticipated a matter of a few weeks ago. And that's it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the FX market, visit eBreed's website or follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcast app. and let us know if there are any topics you'd like to hear more on during upcoming episodes. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a fortnight's time. Thank you all very much for listening.